The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima is written in Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, and shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Hebrews chapter 4. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold." And he said these things. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for Sexagesima Sunday is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. The Lord explains how things work in his kingdom. The sower sows his reckless love. With seeming abandon, with carelessness, with utter disregard for the fertility of the soil, he sows. The seeds go forth to the most unlikely of places, to the wayside, to the rocky soil, to thorn-infested ground. It seems as though this seed has no chance of bearing fruit. This sower does not act like any sower that you've ever known. In fact, it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for this seed to come to fruition. But all things are possible with God. And by His intervening grace, some of His seed does bear what He intends, while most of it seems to be wasted, gone to the birds, dead of dehydration, trampled underfoot, or choked out by weeds. That God created repentant faith, which is brought forth against all odds, bears fruit 100-fold. The Lord tells you that the seed in this parable represents the Word of God. This Word is that which will not return empty. It is this Word that called all things into being. He said, "Let there be light," and there was. God speaks, and it is. This is the Word of the prophets and the apostles. It is the power of salvation. Why? Because it brings Christ to you. It brings Christ's righteousness to you, declaring you innocent to those who believe and are baptized. For it delivers unto you the promise of Christ's cross and empty tomb. What it says is, and here is what it says: peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Do not be afraid, for I love you. For this is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among you. He rules in the hearts and minds of those brought to belief, not by power or might, but by His grace. And since it is not by power or might, this Word is rejected out of hand, like seed that is cast onto the pavement. For fallen men do not respect grace as they respect power. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, but the world did not know Him. He came unto His own, but His own did not receive Him. In other cases, it will be received with joy for a short time, but then given up in times of temptation, like seed in rocky places, without the source of life Himself, without the promises contained therein. Or it will be tossed aside when the world calls with its fleshly pleasures, like seed choked out by thorns. In these rejections that the Lord makes clear, in these rejections lies damnation. There is no other salvation, no other path to God, no other name, nor revelation. This is condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There's no surprise. It's only natural. It's to be expected. But still, despite that, Despite the interference of the snatching demons, the weakness of man's flesh, the allure of the world's many seductions that pull man away, still this word will not return empty. What the Father has revealed by the working of His Spirit in His life-giving word sent from on high, against it, against God, against the confession of faith that He creates by the power of His word, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Some of this miraculous seed bears fruit, and that a hundredfold. On this barren plain, this rocky, trodden, unlikely path, on you, God has sowed His good seed. His word to you, He has preached. What He brings into your ears is not a word of death. It is not full of the devil's destroying lies. It's not a word of superstitions or a deceiving false comfort. But instead, it is the word of life. It's the word of God for man. It breaks the hearts of men, empties them of their petty lusts and greed. It kills, but it kills only to make alive again. It destroys men that it might remake them again. It hearkens men from the grave, out of death and into life, from bondage to sin to liberty, and that through repentance. It cleanses and forgives. It is this word that carries the promises of Christ's accomplishments for you. So powerful that when connected and combined with water, with plain old water, it makes it a holy baptism, rich in grace. So powerful that it changes bread and wine mysteriously, so that at the same time it is flesh and blood for you Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of your sins. That is why this word makes your mortal souls quake in fear. It's so powerful. But by His grace, in His love, this word makes you new. It makes you His as it brings you to repentance and belief. Some of this miraculous seed is snatched. Some is scorched. Some is mocked. But still, He preaches on. He will not stop. He would have all men to be saved, all men to know the joy of life in Him, for He knows what all men need. He's excessive with His grace, abundant with His love. He pours it out with abandon. He knows full well the cost, and yet He knows too how little it will be welcomed. But still He carries on. He sows. He scatters the goodly seed abroad. And where it takes root, where it turns the hearts of men, where it cultivates stony ground through repentance and belief, it yields a hundredfold in joy and peace immeasurable, power beyond the comprehension of mortal man, lies in this word. Incomprehensible joy is bestowed upon those unworthy hearts that are brought to receive it. The barren plains, the wasteland that once was, now echoes with a firm confession of faith. And so, whether men like it or not, whether you be brought to look foolish in the world, or even outlawed, whether it is successful in ways that you can see or not, still the church, God's body of believers, will carry on as the Lord has given you to do, preaching or supporting preaching. Preaching Christ crucified, and there upon that tree of shame, you too will be glorified. For there God is seen as he wants to be seen, the promised Redeemer, the promised Savior, the Shepherd providing for his wandering sheep. The word shall continue to be preached, for the word brings the promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation, ever sure and certain, as they are ever contained in the one who merited them for you, delivered to you, that he would be received. And this is what flies in the face of humanity. For it is all that God has chosen to work through. It's preaching, teaching, and the sacraments. The church has no tricks, no gimmicks, nothing to add to this simple word. It is just proclaimed. In season and out of season, and caring not for the great many times when the word is rejected and mocked, not even supposed to be counted, just sowing, trusting in the one who gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower, that he will plant it home and make it grow. The church does not count, but rejoices in those moments of miraculous intervention when God does send you his word. Rejoicing when he sends you his word sounds like God's divine service. Through the living waters of holy baptism, he comes and makes alive those brought to believe. In the very flesh born and carried around by Mary, the very flesh crucified and raised again, through that flesh, he comes. He rides right into your sanctuary, and to the untold number of sanctuaries around the world, he rides in lowly bread and wine. His word goes out of its own accord, by its own power and strength. It creates and sustains faith in his elect. Stones like you are made the living, rightful children of Abraham. Stony hearts turned to flesh, given a new song to sing. The wretched tones of this earthly life are transformed into the songs of heaven, the songs of the mighty six-winged seraphim, the song
of the Holy Liturgy. I believe our intro, choir anthem, spoke of that glorious song as we heard them conclude in such a way. This is how the Word works in His kingdom. The sower sows his reckless love in the most unlikely of places, and it is good. It does what it is supposed to do. It creates its own good soil. He causes it to take root and to grow where no gardener could succeed, and to keep it growing, to make it strong. Those hearts that now love Him suffer. They suffer from His often painful pruning process. And in suffering, they bear the fruit of patience through confession. And through that confession, giving glory and praise straight back to Him. This is the word that is for you. And so it is that without the world even noticing, the word, that foolish seed, has been cast by the grace of God and by its own power and goodness. Through God's ways and means, it has made a home for itself within you who believe. It has borne the fruit of faith. In you who have no merit or worthiness in which to boast, you who were the worst sorts of soil, in you sinners whom He came to seek and to save, the Lord of the harvest has caused faith and trust in Him to grow. The sower has not failed you by His word, and He never will. The sower has planted life eternal, and He will bring that life eternal to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.